1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to, and there's no way that I can deal with everything that's within this one chapter, but I'm not really interested in dealing with everything that's in this chapter, not interested in really expounding on every verse and word. I'm interested in this subject, unity in diversity, or if you want a second title, different does not mean divided. Different but not divided. So there's your two titles. Most time I don't even have a title. Most of the sound room, they ask me, so what was that title? I said, I don't know. I didn't have one. I just preached. But I got two tonight. Unity and diversity, or different doesn't mean divided, or different but not divided. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Let's start reading in verse number 1, and we'll just read a few verses here and see where the Lord would have us to go with it. Amen. There's 31 verses in this chapter, but Paul is dealing with the Corinthian believers on the basis of division. If you've read the book of Corinthians, you know that Paul is dealing with the most carnal church in the New Testament. The church of Corinth was the most childish church in the New Testament, the most divided church in the New Testament. They were taking one another to court. They were the most immoral church in the New Testament. They had gross sin inside their church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 gives an example of that. And Paul rebukes the church of Corinth over the fact that they were okay with that, instead of making a move to oppose that and stand against that. And so he gives a lot of instruction about that, and tells them that they should not have company with fornicators. There was wickedness inside of the church, and they were not mourning over that. They did not treat that as the little leaven that would leaven the whole lump. And so Paul rebuked them and dealt with them about that. But anyway, as we come to chapter 12, Paul is dealing again with division in the church. In fact, let me show you a verse. If you will, look at verse 25. This is one of the reasons, this is one of the goals that Paul was trying to get the church to. It was found in verse number 25. This is my opinion. That there, I'm saying all of this in the first 24 verses, I'm saying all of this, here's why, that there should be no schism in the body. He's likening the church, church fellowship, church as a body. One body made up of many members. And he said that there should be no schisms in the body. That word schisms means there should be no division. There should be no dissension. There should be no split or gaps in the body. There should be no rent places in the body. And so I don't know if that's the key verse to chapter 12, but it surely would stand out as one of Paul's emphasis that he clearly is trying to get the church to. But let's start in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, so we know who he's writing to, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. So that sets the stage right there, that what he's addressing in chapter 12 is that they were not right. They had been influenced and carried away, led away. They had wrong influences in their life. But unto these dumb idols. Anytime that you're led away from the spiritual, the goal, direction, destiny of that leading away is never going to be good as they were led away unto these dumb idols. I think we looked at some of that this morning in Psalms 115, those idols that were man-made, made of gold and silver, or silver and gold, and they had eyes that they see not, mouths that they did not speak, ears they didn't hear, and so on and so forth. Here they were led away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't have time to preach on that because that's not my main burden tonight, my main burden. But I believe you can see there clearly that Paul is saying that if a man is not anointed by the Spirit of God, don't listen to him. Isn't that what he's saying? No man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed. Then he said, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if we're in a day when there is a lack of that, I mean, as I travel, I'm in some preachers' meetings and stuff, different places, and I even preach to preachers a lot, but I'm telling you, there is a lack of emphasis on Holy Ghost anointed preaching. Amen. These training centers and areas, colleges and institutes and stuff, they're teaching men doctrine. They're teaching people, and that's important, crucially important, teaching doctrine, and they're teaching men a lot of the techniques, and they're teaching men how to study the Bible. That's important. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you can rightly divide it, then you can wrongfully divide it. And that's all good, and that's all needful. But I want to tell you, friend, there's no substitute for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There's no substitute for fresh oil. And there's a scarcity of that in our day. There are people, see us, that are sitting on fundamental churches, church pews, fundamental. That is, they've got their doctrine right, but they're drying up because the Spirit of God don't have any freedom in the service. The Spirit of God doesn't have much say-so in the service. Amen. And listen, I know that if we was more structured, if you could call it that, we might have more people. But that's not my goal. I'm not interested in being more. Listen, if you're wanting a polished preacher, God help. I'm not polished. I wished I was more polished. And I do try to improve some. I don't know how good that is doing. You know, but structure will never take the place of being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not saying when I mention that about structure, and I'm going to take up half my time defending that. You know that we're not wanting to have just a church circus. We're not wanting just a free for all. Amen. I've heard people say this. And if some of you said it or heard someone say it, don't take it personal, but I've heard it. I've heard people talk about what a wonderful service they had. They had five preachers preaching at the same time. I said, really? You had five preaching at the same time? Amen. That violates scripture. But it was of God, preacher. Not if it violates scripture, it don't. I said, what'd they say? What was they preaching? I don't know. I don't know what none of them was saying. They was all at it at the same time. But man, it was good. Did you get something from God? Well, I don't know. Hey, it was good. You ought to have been there. And they think that's okay when it violates the word of God. Man, we're opening up a can of worms. Oh, my stars. Some of you looking at me like, preacher, you're nuts. Well, I get told that quite often. Are you listening? 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, if you want to read it. I'm not going to read it because it's not the purpose of the message tonight. But if you want to read 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 26 and following, you will find out that the Bible said in verse 31, ye may all prophesy one by one, and that all may learn and all may be comforted. Right. The spirit of the prophets are subject unto the prophets. One at a time. I don't care if five preaches if it's one at a time. Say amen right there. Or if you have one that preaches four or five people. Now that might be better. I don't know. God help us. Boy, it's good liberty here tonight. All right, let's go back. I'm going to have to quit commenting on all these verses, or we never are going to get anywhere. But look in verse number 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. They're different, but the same God is working all in all. There's unity in diversity. Different doesn't mean divided. But the manifestation, verse 7, of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. I'm emphasizing that on purpose. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another. Notice the repetition of the statement, to another, that is to a different person, to a different person, to a different person. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But all, I got that circled, but all these worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, all and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. Now let me ask you, stop right there a second. That list I just read right then, does that not denote diversity? Jew, Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. That's a variety. That covers a lot of ground. So we'd all agree that that's diversity. But when people that are Jews get saved, people that are Gentiles get saved, people that are bond or free get saved, we're all put into one body. We're all different. But when we come into Christ, that makes a unity. That gives us a bond, a common denominator. Amen. Look what it says. And have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And we're going to talk about this just in a few minutes. If the whole body were an eye, where with the hearing? What's the statement right there? If the whole, meaning the whole body, if the whole were hearing, or an ear, if you will, where would the smelling? But now if God set, well, that's a big word, set, and it's used again in verse 28, and God hath set some in the church. For now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye, oh, it changes now, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Wow. Did I just read that? I know it's in the Bible, but is it in our churches? those members of the body which we think, verse number 23, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. In other words, those that are you think are less than you may in fact be more than you. Wow. Those that you may be looking down on really might be above you. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Listen to that. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. That word particular means they occupy an assigned spot. Members in particular, verse 28. And God hath set some in the church first, and he uses the word first, secondarily, thirdly, in verse number 28, to show rank and order. Okay, he set some in the church first, apostles. And by the way, there are no apostles. There are no modern-day apostles. There's none qualified to be a modern-day apostle. I know they're all on the religious television. Apostle this and apostle that. And there's apostolic churches that are built upon apostleship. To be an apostle, you had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. And Paul was the last one, and he even said, and last of all, he was seen of me. And he ain't been seen of no more. There are no apostles. Whoop! That man. They were important. They were the foundation of the church. But they're not in existence now. Secondarily, there was prophets. And by the way, there's no prophets in our day. You know why? Because we have a complete Bible. Y'all have read it, haven't you? We have a completed canon of Scripture. Prophets foretold. Preachers today are forthtelling. We are taking what has been recorded in the Holy Scriptures and proclaiming and declaring, thus saith the Lord. Now listen, if you don't believe that, you're opening the door of your life and church to false doctrine. Because if we do not have a closed canon of Scripture, if we do not have a perfect Word of God, then there's still an open door for other revelations. And I've done what I'm about to tell you. I'm not telling you to do it because a lot of people can't handle it. But I've listened to some of the televangelists and the telepastors, television pastors and all of that. And they're preaching, they preach storytelling. Biggest church in America. Biggest church in America is built on storytelling. Are y'all listening? What's the name of it? It ain't no Baptist. God help me. Forgive me for saying that. Lakewood Church. You'll never hear him preach against sin. And this Bible's clearly against it. If you're going to be preaching the Bible, would you not at least every once in a while be led to preach against sin? But I heard him say with my own ears on being interviewed, if homosexuality was sin, he said, God never called me to preach against sin. I wouldn't walk across the street to hear him preach. I wouldn't let him feed my dogs, afraid he'd corrupt them. They'd quit running rabbits and start running skunks. That's right. But there's a lot of people, even in our fundamental Baptist churches, that think he's the best thing since mayonnaise. Whoever thinks mayonnaise is good. Are you listening? Amen. That's right. Amen. If I ever get out of the Bible, I promise you it's ignorance. I've been preaching in this pulpit. June, the third Sunday of June, will make, as far as my first time preaching in this pulpit, same pulpit, be 28 years ago. I don't know of anything that I've ever preached that was out of the Bible. I don't know of anything. If I have ever preached anything out of the Bible that's wrong, I don't know it. I want to know it if I have. I don't want to line up with false doctrine and error. I don't want to preach something that just lines up with being a Baptist. If it's in the Bible, I want to preach it. If it's not in the Bible, I don't want to preach it. Amen. And listen, with that said, Lord help me, I'm getting hung up. With that said, if I preached anything that's out of this Bible, I am approachable. I am approachable. You can come to me and I will not get mad. I may not keep my mouth shut, but I won't be mad. If you can show me, preacher, you're out of the Bible right here. This is not right. You preached false doctrine right here. You preached error right here. I will definitely consider what you're saying. I will definitely look at it and make sure that you're right first. And I don't have the pride, Brother Craig, to get in this pulpit and say I was wrong about that matter. Are you listening? That's right. Now, I may go cross-grain with what you like. I may go cross-grain with what you prefer. I may go cross-grain with your personal opinion. But that don't mean squat to me, whatever squat is. We use that terminology. My main concern, Sister Hayes, is that book. Is it in that book? Did I violate the scripture? If I did, then I stand to be rebuked. I stand to be corrected. And I need to apologize for that. And I would do that. When I first got saved and first called to preach, listen, this is hilarious. When I first started preaching, I didn't know nothing. Still don't know much. But I started out preaching, man, I hit the ground running. I was preaching on street corners. I was preaching in rest homes. I was preaching in a few jails along, not from the inside. I was preaching, just preaching, and I didn't know nothing much. I started the very year I surrendered to preach. I surrendered on February the 2nd, 1981. Me and Brother Ricky Campbell went to Newport. I hadn't been preaching but just a short few, a couple of months or so, 3 or 4 months, and we went to Newport and preached a 2-week tent meeting. And I was preaching every other night. And I didn't know nothing about nothing. How to look at, get messages and all that. The very next year, Brother Jeter, me and Brother Randy Bain went back to Newport. And if anybody, any place on planet Earth needs God, it's Newport. Say amen, Mom. My wife's from Newport, Trina, I said that. And so we went back to Newport, and it ended up going 5 weeks. I was preaching every other night. And I just started. I hadn't been preaching long. And I was preaching with one of my heroes. Was preaching when I got saved, Brother Randy Bain, Evangelist Randy Bain. And we were studying in the same room. In the basement of the old Tabernacle Baptist Church, Calvary Baptist Tabernacle in Newport. I'll get it right in a minute. And so we were both in that same room studying. And Brother Randy he'd be over there at his table and he'd, oh, preacher, hey, Brother Rackley, come over here. Oh, my, I want to show you what the Lord gave me. I'd go over there and there'd be nuggets and meat. And I thought, wow, brother, that's awesome. I'd go back to my little table. There was my little Scopeville Bible. I still got it. There's my little Scoville Bible laying there open. Right beside it would be a pad and pencil, piece of paper and a pen. I'd have my name at the top. No title, no scripture, no points, no nothing. I said all that to say this. I probably preached stuff that you couldn't find in a encyclopedia, much less in the Bible. But I wasn't preaching in ignorance. I mean, I wasn't preaching knowingly. And Brother Bain would pull me aside. And he said, "Preacher," I remember one time, Lord help me, I'm getting tied up here. I remember one time I preached at Zirconia Baptist Church right outside of Hendersonville. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it might have been my third message. I don't remember what I preached, but I do remember Brother Bain pulling me aside, and he wasn't even my pastor, but he was my mentor. And I don't say this. You don't hear me say this term. You don't hear me say it unless it's in the right context. But I didn't have it in the right context in that preaching. I bet I said, "Bless God." I bet I said it 75 times in one message. And Brother Bain pulled me aside after the service, and I'm glad he did. I've never forgotten it. Brother Bain pulled me aside. He said, "Preacher, I noticed you kept saying, 'Bless God,' through this preaching." Of course, I was aware of it, you know. He said, "I just want to know one thing." He said, "Was you blessing God?" I said, "No, sir. I was using that as words of force." "Bless God," you know. He said, "If you wasn't using that to bless God with a bless the Lord attitude," he said, "is that not taking the name of the Lord in vain?" I said, "Yes, sir." And I've never forgotten that. Never forgotten that. Amen. Amen. I want to be teachable. I want to be teachable. Amen. That's right. Anyway, Lord, y'all forgive me. Y'all forgive me. Amen. I don't even know where we got to. What? Oh, yeah. 28. Oh, my goodness. Running out of time. "And God set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all," listen to these questions, and what is the answer to all of them? "Are all apostles?" Who said that, Bro Chuck? Did you say that? Say it louder. No. "Are all prophets?" "Are all teachers?" Brother Chuck, you're getting 100 already. "Are all workers of miracles?" "Have all the gifts of healing?" When it say all there, it's talking about, does everybody in the body of Christ, does all the members in the body have these particular singular gifts? The answer to all of these questions are no. "Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covetous earnestly the best gift, yet show I unto you the more excellent way." All right. I don't have time to deal with it, but let me just give you this. Here's what I'm looking at. I know you're aware, as we come down through here, there's indications of diversity. Indications of diversity where, you know, they weren't all given the same gifts. They were all different. They were all set in the body as God willed and was pleased to do so, and so on and so forth. So I don't have to spend time dealing with the diversity, dividing to every man severally as he willed in verse 11. But I do want to spend a few minutes, if you'll allow me to, on the unity aspect, not the diversity aspect, but the unity aspect. Many act as if unity is based upon similarity. I want you to just write this down. Let me just give you this. Let me get you to turn there. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. The first thing I want to show you, and I wanted to really bog in on this. The first thing I wanted to show you was that let me look at verse 14. "For the body is not one member, but many." Look at verse 15. "If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Look at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, the whole body were an eye, no feet, no hands, no ears, no mouth, no fingers, no toes, the whole body was nothing but just an eye, then where's the body at? He's establishing something here. In verse number 15 and 16, when you have one member of the body saying to another member of the body, I don't need you. I wrote down in my Bible the word inferiority. We are many members, we're different, but that doesn't mean divided. We're diverse, but that doesn't mean we can't have unity in diversity. Is that making sense? The first thing that will produce division when God set it up that there be no schisms in the body, there be no division. The first thing that will produce division at Rogersville Baptist Temple or any other church is inferiority. Well, I can't be a hand because I'm a foot. I can't, isn't that what it's saying, verse 15? But if the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, not the hand, I am not of the body. How many people are hung up with the I can't? How many people miss out on God's will for your life because you feel inferior? If I was somebody else, yes, I would do this or that. Oh, if I was... You know, if I had their personality, or if I had their voice, or if I had their brain, if I had their abilities, I'd do thus and so. So you're telling me that God failed you then when he made you. You know what divides us? I mean, not divides us, but makes us different? Our gifts that has been given to each of us by the Spirit of God. And every saved person has at least one gift. Every saved person. That is not only what God has given to you, but it is what God means for you to give to your local church and to the work of God. Most churches are nigh unto death because most of the people that are saved, that have at least one spiritual gift, are not administering that gift to their local church. And that church is trying to function without a foot. That church is trying to function without a hand or an ear or an eye. Inferiority. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I'm not of the body. Now, I know this seems elementary, but I'm telling you, I don't know at the times I've dealt with that. In my 39 years of preaching, people that stayed on a low level of ministry, Brother Aaron, because they kept this, well, I'm not like Preacher Rackley, so I can't preach, or I'm not like... Brother, or I'm not like this. Hey, you know what the Bible said in the same book I'm preaching out of? They that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. The Corinthian believers had a problem of comparing themselves to other people in the church. And we have right here a classic example where they are comparing themselves in the realm and mentality of inferiority. I can't serve God. I can't sing like she can, or I can't preach like he can, or I can't teach like he can. If God wanted you to be them, you would have been them. God wants you to be you. God has given you a gift. And God means for that gift to be developed. And God means for that gift to be used to bless your local church. Amen. I may have took up on this Wednesday night. How many people are robbing RBT of spiritual help that should come through a member of the body? But because you feel inferior, well, I'm not a foot, so I'm not of the body. I'm a hand. Did you see that? What is it? If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand. What? How important is a foot? Anybody, Brother Chuck, I'm not going to shame you right here. Raise your hand right here, Brother Chuck, so we know who to. Brother Chuck had a lawnmower, if I'm right on it, had a lawnmower accident and cut half of one of his, which one is it, right foot? Left foot. Cut half of one of his feet off. Not the whole thing, half. Does it hinder you, Brother Chuck?
Yes.
Just half, not the whole foot. So the foot is important, isn't it? Can you imagine? Can you imagine, Brother Ryan, just having one foot? But yet the foot says, as important as it is, I mean, the foot is what helps me stay stable, and my feet is what helps me, you know, it supports me. But yet for some reason, the foot got it in its thinking. Well, maybe if I was the hand, or because I'm not the hand, then I'm not of the body. Lord, have mercy. How many people, I mean, I'm tore up over that. How many people are missing out on God's will for your life? Because I'm not like her, him, or them, I can't be used. How important is the hand? Oh my goodness, I couldn't imagine. I couldn't imagine. I've tried to even imagine what it'd be like. You know, try to tie your shoe with one hand. Try to put your clothes on with one hand. Button your shirt with one hand. But yet, somehow or another, that one that was a foot just got it in his head, so to speak, in his thinking. Well, because I'm not of the hand, then I'm not of the body. I want to ask you something. I just saw into that. Do you think that shames God? God sets every member in particular as He wills. So if you're a foot, it's because God made you a foot. And here you are whining because you're not a hand. That insults God. Amen, that's right. I want to tell you, friend, we ought to be to the place where you and I can say, God, help me to know what you want, what I am, where my part is, what my place is. Help me to fill that spot faithfully and do it with all of my heart. Because if I'm a foot, I want to stand one day at the judgment seat of Christ for being a faithful foot. Woo, amen. I don't want to go to the judgment seat of Christ and God say, this is what I would have done with you as a foot, but you whined around your whole life because you wasn't a hand. Lord, help us. Don't you think that's what's behind jealousy? Don't you think that that's even indicated right there? The foot is saying, I'm not the hand, so I'm not the body. It shows right there that the foot is jealous of the hand. And don't think like this. It don't think like this. The foot don't think, well, I'm not the hand. A foot can't do what a hand does, and a hand can't do what a foot does. Hand has its, a hand's important, a foot's important. You know what'll help you? This is not prideful, arrogant, or egotistical. You ought to tell yourself, I'm important. That's not a prideful state. I'm important because my gift or gifts is necessary to the work of God. God never saves anybody and lets you just be a dangling participle or whatever that is. Amen. No, you're no dangling member. You are placed in the body. The Spirit of God administered a gift to you. And listen, if you're saved, your local church needs you. Well, Lord, help us. So inferiority. Verse number 16, if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye. I'm not the eye. I'm not of the body. Well, how can you compare ear to eye? You heard this term. If you're going to, you know the value of something, you compare apples with apples. You take, you know, you put them side by side. I mean, you can't compare a Volkswagen with a Porsche. But when you get carnal, as the church of Corinth was, you'll get to the point that even though you are a gifted individual spiritually, you may be an ear. How important, Brother Aaron, how important is an ear? Faith cometh by and hearing by the word of God. Nobody gets saved. How can they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach lest they be sent? How important is hearing? But yet you can get so carnal and you can get so caught up in this comparing yourself with others that you, even though you're an important part of this local body, you're an important part of the body of Christ, amen, as an ear is, you can get to the point to where you're saying, I'm not an eye, so I can't do anything. I'm not an eye, so I can't. I must not be of the body. That's all carnality. That is carnality, buddy. Inferiority is not spirituality. Somebody needs to write that down. Living in the light. Oh, well, but preacher, God said we're supposed to be humble. Humble, yes, but inferior, no. Let me tell you what humility is not. I'm not getting in a hurry. We'll just cut it off. We'll come back Wednesday night or whatever. We're gonna dig this out. Because I believe we witnessed recently, and we know that we have relational issues, and some of that got cleared up on Wednesday night. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And that's why we've got good liberty today, in the presence of God today. We got revival coming up, and we need relationships fixed. If you're an ear, quit your whining. Because you're not an eye. If you're a foot, and I'm using that because the Bible used that in that passage. If you're a foot as a member, listen, don't be spending your time whining around because you're not a hand. Be what God wants you to be. Be where God wants you to be. Do it to the best of your ability. Because if God called you and gifted you, using it in light of the text, if God called you and used you as a foot, guess what rewards He's only going to give you for being a foot? He's not going to give you a reward for what you are not. Come on now. Here it is. God's helping us. God's not going to give you a reward for what others are. God's not going to give the foot hand rewards. God's not going to give hand foot rewards. It's best for you to find out what God wants you to be. And do it. Get with it. And be faithful at it. And if you see somebody that seems to be blooming more and growing more and shining more, don't be jealous. Don't be envious. Just thank God that you have somebody like that in the same body of you, with you. We're not in separate bodies. We're not in different bodies. We're talking about there's many members but one body. If you've got a hand that, praise God, is doing more and doing more than a foot could ever think about doing. Because a foot is not a hand. A foot is not gifted to do what a hand does. A foot can't grip nothing. When you got somebody that you can see excelling in their where they are in the body, don't be jealous or envious or critical or judgmental. Be thankful. Thank God in our body, in the body of Christ, whether it's the local assembly here or the body. Thank God we've got somebody that knows what they're doing up there where the hand's at. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, friend, that right there ought to help us. And I don't know of a local church anywhere that doesn't need this preaching right here. But I'm not preaching it elsewhere. I'm preaching it here because we need it. inferiority. Lord, have mercy. Verse 15 and 16. Can I give you another one? I've been preaching 43 minutes. I know y'all don't believe that. Listen to this. The second one I already made reference to, but I want to deal with it. Verse 14 alludes to it. For the body is not one member. Everybody say that. For the body is not one member. All right, that is also pointed out again in verse 17. If the body were an eye, the whole body, if it were an eye, then where is the hearing? If the whole, that is, it's understood there, body, if the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? Brother Craig, I don't know what everybody's parts are. I'm still trying to figure out everything God wants me to be. But let's just use you for a second. If you were a foot, if everybody in our church was a foot, meaning they would be all like you, we'd have a bunch of Craigs in here, a bunch of Seabolts in here. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? Same with if there's a bunch of Preacher Rackleys in here. If everybody in here was like Preacher Rackley, then where's the diversity at? If it was all one member, if we was all a foot, then we'd be missing hands and eyes and ears. Amen. We'd be missing all kinds of vital parts of the body. Look what it says. All right, we reference verse 14 and verse number 17. Look at verse 19. And if they were all, that is all the body, if they were all one member, where would the body? Is it a body if all you have is a foot? That's what he's asking. Boy, that's good right there. That's good. I'll say my own amens right there. If all you have is a foot, is that the body? Or is that just one part of the body? All right, let's read on. We're about to get it. Everybody say we're about to get it. Verse 19, verse number 29. Of course, I'll not read these because I just got through reading that earlier. It goes through that list of questions. Are all apostles, prophets, teachers, workers of miracles, et cetera, et cetera? And the answer to that is no. We're not all that. God did not give all of his gifts to one person. I've met people, I think that they act like they were. They act like and strutted around like a peacock, you know, and flipped their suspenders and twirled their curls, and they thought, man, I am God's gift to this church. I am God's gift to the community. No, friend. God never gave all of his gifts to any one person. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. And the answer to every one of them questions is no, meaning that God gave gifts at different times and for different purposes in the start of the church, the foundation of the church, all the way through even to the present day. And there's gifts. Some are not active. As I pointed out earlier, there's no prophets, there's no apostles, and I can mention some of the others that are not in operation today. They had their purpose, they fulfilled their purpose, but they're not in operation today. Amen. But there are gifts of the Spirit that's operative right now. Not inoperative, but operative right now. And if you're saved, you have at least one. And my advice would be to you, find out what that is. And start focusing the rest of your life around that. Amen. All right. So not only inferiority will divide, similarity will divide. I'm preaching all these negatively. It's not God's will that inferiority be in the house of God. Amen. Similarity. Where did that come from? Verse 14, 17, 19, 29, and 30. There's an emphasis there of, like verse 17, if the whole body were an eye. Some act like that if the church ain't all like me, everybody else is wrong. The whole church is not an eye. The whole church is not a foot. The whole church is not an ear. The whole church is not any one particular member of the body. Similarity. Do you know that? Listen, why do you fall out with somebody? I'll put we in there. Why do we fall out with somebody? You know why? They're not like me. God never meant for them to be like you. God never meant for you to be like them. God means for us all to be like Him, Jesus. I've never, in my short 59 years of being on this planet, I've never studied snowflakes. I've eaten several, played in some. But they tell me that there's no two snowflakes designed exactly the same. Now I want to ask you something. If God would take that much notice in the design of making sure every snowflake is different, every one of us, how many is on planet Earth today? Is it over 8 billion? Surely somebody knows the answer to that. I'm thinking I heard that recently. There are over 8 billion people on this planet. Over 350 some odd million even in America. No two people have the same DNA. Now I can't hardly wrap my head around that. No two people. And I'm not talking about just 8 billion that's on the planet right now. Sister June, I'm talking about from Adam to the present day. Listen, there's never been another Preacher Rackley. Never been and never will be another Brother David. Miss Hayes, we don't even have to ask the question right there. How many knows there'll never be another Miss Hayes? She is a unique snowflake. Of course, we need to change that because being a snowflake in our day is a bad thing. Sorry, sis. I didn't mean to insult you. Used to, that was a term that you bragged on somebody, but now you might get punched in the nose if you call somebody a snowflake now. You know, you need your little safe place that you go and cry. Listen, inferiority will divide this church. Inferiority will defeat you because it will cause you to think only of where you might, what you might be if you're something else or someone else or somewhere else. Similarity will divide this church. If they're not like me, you know what that is. You have to look at it in the Greek. That's got to be in the Bible somewhere. Similarity. I'm an eye. I want everybody to know I'm an eye. And if you're not an eye, you ain't right with God. Come on now. I'm an ear or whatever. Whatever you are. And you're wanting everybody else to be like that. But guess what? They're not like that. Amen. That'll divide, and not only will that divide our church, it will defeat our church. When you have people that's operating in the realm of inferiority, and you have people operating in the realm of similarity, that is, everybody needs to be like me. No, everybody don't need to be like me. I've not ever preached that. I am to be an example. The Bible portrays that the pastor ought to be an example to the flock. Yes. I am, like Paul, Paul said, be ye followers of me, even if I, as I am also of Christ Jesus. The word follower means copy me. We are to be an example. Everybody in here should want to be an example. People's following you. People's looking up to you. If it's your children, your family, somebody you work with, somebody in church, where everybody's got somebody looking up to you and admires you and wants to follow you. Make sure you set down a good example so that they can follow you. But I've never preached that I want everybody to be like me. Never. You've never heard that out of me. And I'm serious when I say that. I've never preached that. And I think a preacher would be foolish to say that. Amen. Well, Paul did. Yeah, but I'm not Paul. And I don't know no preacher today that is. Yeah, Paul did say, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Jesus Christ. Yeah, but he wrote 14 books of our New Testament. He died and went to heaven and came back to tell about it. And when he told about it, he told about it in a third person. He never even told about it as if it was himself. He said, I knew a man above 14 years ago. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. He was so humble about his trip to heaven, he didn't even want to tell it. He didn't even talk about it for a number of years. Could you imagine Miss Hayes taking a quick trip to heaven and come back not telling it? Yeah. Son, she would be squealing before she ever got her feet back on the ground. And Miss Hayes, 85 years old, but she is a blessing, praise God. Amen. Similarity. You fall out with people because they're not like you. People are different from you. People are different from me. We're all different. But different doesn't mean... No. I'm going to have to go back and preach again. Division or difference does not mean divided. How hard is that? That was the title. How do I know that you got the points when I don't? You didn't even get the title. Sorry. Oh, my goodness. I am wore out. This is my third time preaching today. I am shot. But I'm going to tell you, what is the title? Brother Craig, do you know? Say it, Brother Kyle. You're paying attention. Do all have the gifts of tongues? Have you the better? What was it? They're having to have a conference call back there. Unity and diversity. Different but not divided. If we can get a hold of that, that'll there's no telling what that'll do in our church. No telling what that'll do in our church. You know why you disagree with people? They're not like you. Now, we're not, listen, oh my goodness, help me, Lord. We're not talking about condoning sin. We're not talking about, you know, the world's term of diversity. You know, where you're supposed to, even as a church member and an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church, you're supposed to embrace the LGBTQ, WXYZ, MOUSE. No, we're not talking about embracing diversity that's immoral and unscriptural and called an abomination in the scripture. We're not talking about that. We're talking about among the body. We're talking about in our church. We're different. We're different. And because you're not like me, I need to at least respect that. Amen. I'm not talking about being out of the scripture. If you're out of the scripture, somewhere along the way, I'm going to preach against it. I'm going to preach it. It's going to come out. And you're to want a preacher that does that. Anyway, inferiority will divide, similarity will divide. Thirdly, superiority will divide. Look at verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Is that not superiority? I don't need you. Just as you got that other crowd that says, I'm not of the hand, so I'm a foot, I'm not the hand, so I can't, I'm not of the body. That's wrong. We all agree with that. Similarity, that concept of similarity. If you're not an eye, I'm an eye. If you're not an eye, you're not right because you're not like me. That's wrong. That's divisive. That'll destroy the unity of a church. Amen. Been superiority. You say, surely there's not people like that. Are you kidding me? The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't have a, listen, can you feel, can you hear the attitude there? I don't have no need of you. Could you see it? Brother Ryan, I'd value your wisdom on those things. I'm just kidding. Listen, seriously. I about lost some of you right there then. He's looking at me like, I about drowned him in the baptistry. No. Correction. He about drowned me in the baptistry. But you got baptized, though, didn't you? Amen. All right. I don't even know what we're talking about now. I am so tired. I'm telling you, I'm exhausted. What was he talking about?
He was asking a question.
Yeah, well, I know that. What? Have no need of you. Could you see that being spiritual coming out of my mouth? If I just started here with Brother David. Brother David, I don't need you. Brother Ryan, I don't need you. You think that would be 400 miles even away from the Spirit of God? It's Caden, I don't need you. In fact, that grieves me to even be using it as an illustration. I mean, it's really grieving my spirit, even though I'm not even serious about it. I'm just using that as an example. But it grieves me to even think that. Amen. But where does that spirit come from in a church, local assembly? When you look at somebody, you may not look at them and address them as I did Brother Trent and all them and say to Brother Aaron, I don't need you. Listen, but we think it sometimes. You know why? Because you're not like me. I'll tell you how it surfaces. Resentment and isolation. Amen. Cut you off, cut you out because you ain't like me. That will kill Rogersville Baptist Temple, D-E-A-D, dead. Amen. That's all worldly relational actions. If you ain't like the world and you don't fit in with them, they'll cut you out. Amen. So what are we talking about now? Superiority. What is it, the eye? I'm gonna just try to stay here and read it so we can get done. Don't say amen right there, please. Look at it, verse number, where are we at? 21. Can the eye say unto the hand, I have no need of thee? Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you? Nay. You know what that means? No. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem. Who measures the value of that word seem? It's not factual, it just seems that way. Same word seem is used in the next verse. And those members of the body which we think, same word, seem and think, which seem to be more feeble or necessary. God said that crowd that you don't want around, that crowd that you won't cut off, that crowd because they're not like you, God said that crowd that seems to be more feeble are necessary. Did y'all get that? Are y'all getting that? Am I getting that? Some of the crowd that I'm talking about, God said they're necessary. They're not like me. They're not like me. So they're out. Look better going than they do coming. I've heard preachers make that statement. I don't know if I've ever made that statement that was spiritual. I've made that statement probably from a carnal perspective. Because here's what I think. Well, it's not what I think. It's what I know. If they're not here, I cannot help them. I know what kind of preaching they're going to get here. I know what truth they're going to get here. And if they're not here, I can't help them. Amen. Superiority. Nay. Look at the next verse. And those members of the body, verse 23, which we think to be less honorable. We think. It's not biblical. It's not right. It's not what God said. We think that they're less honorable. Upon these, we bestow more abundant honor. Wow. We're thinking they're way down there, but God says they're worth more honor. Abundant. More abundant honor. And our uncomely parts, more abundant comeliness. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Why? That there be no schisms in the body. Inferiority will divide a church. Similarity will divide a church. Everybody needs to be like me. And then superiority most definitely will destroy a church. Who would be in a position to look at anybody else, even though you may not say it verbally, but in your heart and mind, look at them. I don't need them. I wish they were gone. Bro, you won't hear me say that. You may hear me say, I wish they was right with God, or I wish they was more serious and they was more faithful and all that kind of stuff. Amen. May God help us. Sure as I'm standing in this pulpit, God told me to preach this. It's burning in my heart heavy. We're getting ready for revival, but it's not that we're just getting ready for a series of services. I'm talking about, I believe, the future of RBT is at stake. Amen. I want every one of you to know if you come here, you belong here, you're a gifted person. That don't go to your head. You're a gifted person. God has put at least one gift of the Spirit in you, and He means for the Spirit of God to use that gift to minister to the body of Christ. Amen. I don't know what part of the body I am. Probably the mouth, I guess. Seriously, I hope you broke notes down, get the CD, listen to it. And we could have got in there more. We could give word definitions. But I'm telling you, I believe God give us probably a salvaging message tonight, without a doubt, if we'll receive it and act upon it. Amen. And try to minister to everybody in the church. Amen. Nobody in this church ought to ever leave and say, you know what, nobody shook my hand. Nobody spoke to me. No visitor should ever come and leave this church building in any service where they said nobody spoke to me. I've heard that testimony in a lot of churches where the preacher didn't even speak to visitors. If that was ever said of me, I apologize, and it would be because I got tied up and couldn't get to you. But I have been. And I'm not tooting no horn. I'm not big enough to toot a horn. I don't have a horn to toot. I drive a Subaru. But there's been times I've went out through those front doors and caught people that were headed to their car. Sometimes they were already in their car. And I caught them before they left this upper parking lot to tell them we appreciate them coming and being here. Because if they come, anybody comes, and they're treated like a stranger and they're treated like an intruder and a trespasser, they won't be back. And God will not bless our church if we treat people like that, if we treat our members like that. God help us. We all need some help. I said, we all need some help in this area. We need to grow in this area. Amen. What was it David Gibbs said, founder of Christian Law Association? Y'all have heard me say it. You can quote it probably. The spiritual is relational. In other words, your spiritual life cannot be independent of people. It's not that you depend on them, but that God's going to use you to bless them and influence them and pray for them when they're down, help them, edify them, exhort them, whatever. But God's going to use you in the life of others. This is probably one of the best sayings. It's not mine, but it's a classic. I don't even know who said it first. No one is an island. You're your own little thing. You're not connected to mainland in any way. You're just your own little life. You got your own little thing going on. No. You need the church, and the church needs you. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name, ask you to take the message. Lord, we've tried our best to preach, and you did help me tonight. You did help me. I thank you. But Lord, I pray that you'll take the message and use it, God, for your glory. Speaking to our church, getting us ready, not only for revival, not just getting us ready for revival, but getting us ready for the future, getting us ready for future ministry, getting us ready to be last day church, a last day Christians, last day servants of God. A house divided against itself will not stand. The Lord Jesus, you said that. A kingdom divided against itself will fall, crumble. And Lord, I believe we could say it about our homes. We can say it about our church. A church divided in the area of inferiority, similarity, or superiority will not stand. It will soon collapse, and it will soon fall. Lord, if we here at the church are wanting our church to be shining a bright light in this dark hour, standing firm, exhibiting the love of Christ, because I just believe in my heart there's going to be people that we've never met that's going to come through these doors, beat up by the world, beat up by life, beat up by circumstances. And they're going to need to come into the house of God, to where the Spirit of God is liberated, free, not bound, not grieved, not quenched, but is able to minister to people, to challenge people, convict people, comfort people. I can't do the work of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit wants to do the work through me. And through us together. Have your way, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for the times, Lord, I've been selfish, self-centered, self-focused, acting as though it all is about me. And I've been there. But I've never been there and was spiritual. Never. God, I pray you help our church. Help me. May your will be done. Get the glory. In Christ's name we pray.